welcome to Mondo Hollywood. My name is Amanda, and today I am joined by a very special guest in honor of Batman Day, which was yesterday. And this is, we have Josh Obershaw on the line. Hi, Josh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, awesome. Yay.
Cool.
And then, so Josh is, you really love comic books, and you're also a contributor to the Screamcast podcast, which I do listen to, all about horror movies. But today, we are talking about Batman. And
so
what is the significance, like, yesterday was Batman Day. Like, what does that mean? Like, how do they classify that?
I don't know. I don't know when exactly that popped up or became a thing, but it just seems like lately there's been a lot more of these sort of, like, pop culture days that have been popping up. Like, April 26th is Aliens Day for some reason, probably because the, you know, the colony in the movie Aliens was LV-426, so it's those kind of things. I think it really, really started with May the 4th. I think that was the genesis of this whole pop culture thing. But really, I mean, it was just an excuse to just come on your show and just geek out about my favorite comic book character. And plus, you know, a couple of months ago, we lost Adam West, who famously played Batman on the classic TV series from the 1960s. And this past week, he would have turned 89 years old.
Oh, okay. And actually, to start off the show, we're kind of going to do this in chronological order. And like you said,
right,
we just lost Adam West not too long ago. And I do have a couple of old 1966 tracks from that TV show. And this right now, we're going to start off with Adam West himself singing a song. I don't know. I told you I had this. It's kind of weird. It's called Miranda. So here is Adam West himself.
Will tonight be the night that Bruce reveals himself to the magnificent Miranda?
I never met a girl like you before, Miranda.
Miranda.
And I'd do anything for you if you just ask,
Miranda.
Ask me to do anything for you, Miranda. But please don't ask me to remove my mask. It's against the code of heroes. But you know how much I love you, darling, so come into my kingdom. Boy genius, what are you doing here?
Bruce, come right away. There's a job to be done. A giant octopus has run amok in Washington.
Boy genius, this is one time you'll have to go it alone. Would you like to see me make my muscles dance, Miranda?
Miranda!
For someone powerful as me, it's no big task,
Miranda!
Ask me to do anything for you, Miranda. But please don't ask me to remove my mask. It's attached to my special super thermal V-nuclear long underwear. I don't think I've forgotten my promise. Tonight, I'm going to kiss you.
Bruce, something terrible has happened. Mr. AC/DC, the electric brain, has threatened to turn off the electric current all over the... See what I mean?
Holy Sherlock Holmes, boy genius, you're becoming a real stick in the mud. You better zoom, zoom right out of here. Oh, I can see the hurt look on your face, Miranda.
Miranda.
So I'm gonna do the little thing you ask,
Miranda.
Come take a peek, a teeny weeny peek, Miranda. Get ready now while I remove my mask. There, darling. What do you think?
Oh, please, put it back.
Drat! I never met a girl like you before, Miranda.
Miranda!
And I'd do anything for you if you just ask.
We'll be right back.
was Laverne Baker with Batman to the Rescue from it's kind of a compilation album of Batman inspired songs, but that was from 1966. And then before that, we heard Al Hurt from his album. Al Hurt plays popular TV themes of intrigue, basically, with the Batman theme. And then we started off that set with Adam West. And Josh, who is is that Adam West your favorite Batman? Who would you pick as your favorite?
I would have to go with Michael Keaton because I grew up Saturday mornings watching the Super Friends, and I know I'm not as young as I sound, but that was my earliest memories of Batman, and I remember, of course, the '66 movie when I was a kid, but 1989, the summer of 1999, that's when my fascination with Batman became a full-blown obsession. Like, I went berserk that summer, and honestly, nothing has changed since then. So, Michael Keaton, I also grew up with Michael Keaton because of Mr. Mom and Johnny Dangerously and Gung Ho and all that, so the two of those combined, I mean, that movie, that film, and that performance of his was really a huge cultural benchmark in my life. So I've got to say, yeah, Keaton would probably be my favorite. I mean, he's the Batman of my sort of, I guess, what you call generation, just as much as Adam West was to people older than me.
That's true. Yeah, and I'm a similar age as you. Batman Returns, like, 92, obsessed. Michael Keaton. And same reasons, because he's Beetlejuice. You know, like, you grow up watching these people. And do you remember there was quite a bit of a controversy when he was cast as Batman? Because he was a comedian.
I actually found that out later. I was confused myself because, you know, I knew this guy as a comedy actor, even though he did do one drama film called Clean and Sober the year before Batman. But that's what I saw Michael Keaton as, and you know, seeing him in the Batman costume, it was just like, okay, that's different, but I'll roll with it. But as far as like the controversy, I don't remember that. That came later, and I wasn't surprised at all that people flipped out.
And then, too, and Tim Burton, too, was the director, which was kind of unusual. Because before, yeah, he kind of did, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice. He's kind of like an offbeat director to give, like, this big studio vehicle to.
This was a huge, huge movie. I mean, where do I start? Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers put in a lot of money on this movie the same way that the Falcons did with Superman. So this was their chance to do, you know, to get another DC character off the ground the same way they did with Superman. And it kind of follows the same pattern, too, with the casting as well. I mean, they cast Michael Keaton as Batman. He was well-known. But to cast a legend like Jack Nicholson as the Joker, I mean, that is straight out of the Superman handbook with casting Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando
as
supporting characters.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's definitely why they're like, oh, well, that was probably peer pressure by the studio, or at least, oh, if you're going to have a weird, like, comedian character actor as your Batman, you better get, like, a big name.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to, that's the whole thing with Superman. I mean, if you're going to have an unknown character, an unknown actor play this character, I mean, you got to have some kind of backup.
So also the soundtrack. So there's kind of like the Danny Elfman, like, brooding kind of soundtrack, proper score, I guess, but then also Prince did a whole bunch of songs for this movie, which I do enjoy. And I do, like, most of them are associated with the Joker for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, a huge chunk of that movie is primarily about the Joker. I mean, there are a bit of flaws to that movie, and one of which is, of course, the presence of Jack Nicholson being, you know, kind of a scene stealer. But, going back to the soundtrack, sorry, got off on a tangent there, but...
Well, no,
that was pure promotion. That was pure promotion on the part of Warner Brothers. And I know they had a couple of artists in mind, but they decided to keep it in-house. Prince was a Warner Brothers artist at the time. So that's how that collaboration came about. And yeah, some of the songs are actually in the movie, some of them are not. But
it's a pretty solid. I like this album, though. Like, I listen
to
it.
I do, too. Some of it's a little bit nostalgia, but yeah, there are some songs that I do enjoy.
So today, you kind of picked Party Man. Is this the one that's actually featured in the film?
Yes, this is during the museum scene where the Joker and his goons are, quote-unquote, improving the paintings.
Oh, right. Okay, so let's listen to Prince and Party Man.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Time is too divine. I want to bend Composer of the original Batman score. I'm now working on the film Justice League, and I'm very happy to be back in the DC family. To everyone out there, I wish a happy Batman Day.
Thank you. prosthetic.
That was the great Danny Elfman from 1992's. That was the end credits of Batman Returns. And before that, from the same soundtrack, we heard Sushi and the Banshees with Face to Face. And I don't know, like, so Sushi and the Banshees, that's kind of an odd choice to have in a movie.
Yeah, it is. It's a total 180 from having Prince on the first movie. I'm not sure how that collaboration came about, but I'm glad it did, because I just feel like music of Susie and the Banshees is more fitting to, you know, a mythology like Batman. I mean, I kind of wish the more artists like that were on the soundtrack to the second movie, as opposed to, you know, a pure pop album that we got with the first movie. I mean, bands like The Cure or Morrissey would probably be better suited for, you know, an early 90s, late 80s Batman movie than something like Prince.
That's true.
And but that's just me.
No, it's kind of like, it is like that kind of that new wave feel. And it's a dark, Batman Returns is a dark movie. It is my favorite of everything. Like, even like they say, oh, Christopher Nolan is dark and stuff. But yeah, like just the Batman Returns is like Art Deco. It's all stylish. Michelle Pfeiffer
it's pretty
is amazing.
Bleak,
yeah.
Kind of gory.
Set at winter. It's a good Christmas movie.
It's pretty dirty. I mean, I remember going to see Batman Returns in the theater, and you know, after it was all over and I left the theater, I felt like I needed a shower. I mean, I'd never seen a tentpole movie like that before, and wow, I mean, it was kind of, it caused a lot of controversy, because there was, you know, a huge marketing campaign for the movie. There was all, you know, of course there were toys. McDonald's had like Happy Meal toys. And parents took kids to see this movie, and boy, the outrage was loud, to say the least.
Yeah, and I was like, at that time, I was I saw this on my 13th birthday, and I just aged myself. But yeah, and it was like really, like a really good movie. I love it. But also, like that time, Batman the Animated Series just had started up as well. So, and that very art, like that was like kind of based on like those old Superman. I'm forgetting the name of the guys, the 30s and 40s Superman.
Oh, the Fleischer Studios.
Exactly, yeah. It was kind of stylized after that. So there was kind of like this 1930s, 40s nostalgia with Batman at that time. I'm not sure if that's a thing. But...
It wasn't just Batman. I'm just now noticing in recent years that there was definitely a huge nostalgia for 30s and 40s Art Deco around the late 80s and early 90s. I mean, I think of episodes of Tales from the Crypt and the Flash TV show had a lot of that. Even something like Twin Peaks. I mean, there was definitely, a looking back in and like I said, a nostalgia for that kind of time period. But, you know, Batman was the pinnacle of that. And Batman the Animated Series is probably the best example. And it's the best example of animation, not only of that time, but of any time.
Yeah, and
I can look... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, I was going to say, like, I was a big fan of the Batman the Animated Series when it came out. It was on 8 a.m. here in Winnipeg on CKND. Every day before school, I would watch it.
I would watch it every day after school. Even though I was in high school at the time, I didn't care. I mean, it was such a fantastic show. And it still is a fantastic show. 25 years later, this thing has not aged at all. It is still expertly written, beautifully drawn. I mean, those guys, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, Alan Burnett, Eric Radomski, I mean, they created an animation masterpiece that is yet to be surpassed.
And I didn't know this until yesterday when I was doing some research, but Harley Quinn is actually a pure creation from that TV show.
Yes. Much like Batgirl was with the TV show. I mean, Harley Quinn was a creation specifically for the animated series, but she quickly became such a popular character that DC integrated her into the Batman comic book continuity starting in 1999. And she's been a mainstay of the DC universe ever since then.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing. And it was yesterday, too, it was the 25th anniversary of her creation. Like 92, I guess.
Yep.
So I do want to play, I have some, and then they also made a, so I'm going to play, the next track I want to play is from actually an episode that was from September 22nd. So this year, last 25 years ago, an episode called The Last Laugh aired. So I have a track from that. But also the next year in 93, they made a theatrical feature called Mask of the Phantasm. Did you see that in the theater?
Unfortunately, I didn't see that in the theater. It didn't get as much of a push by Warner Brothers as much as the live-action movies, which is unfortunate. Mask of the Phantasm was originally supposed to be a direct-to-video movie, but Warner Brothers were really, really impressed with the work that they were seeing, and they said this should be a theatrical feature, which should be great news, but the producers and were just... They were at a loss because they had specifically created this thing for, you know, televisions at the time, which were pretty much square, you know, the 4:3 aspect ratio as opposed to theatrical. So they had to reformat everything.
Oh, no.
Before and just pretty much reshoot everything again because they had to switch gears at the last minute. So, and unfortunately, it wasn't that great of a success, but a lot of Batman fans saw this as the best Batman movie, even more so than the live action movies. And I have to agree, it's a really, really good movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, I highly suggest you check it out. Warner Archives put out a Blu-ray of this movie finally last month, so you should definitely check it out.
That's for American listeners, because Canadians can't get Warner Archive Blu-rays up here. Unless we order them and drive to the border to get them. Yeah, I know. It's really sad.
Aww.
So, but it's good that it's out there and available if, you know, for a price, I guess, basically.
So
let's continue with more music. And this is Shirley Walker. And this is actually, I picked this track. It was, when I listened to it, I'm like, oh, this is a little bit different. And you might hear it like when it's not like your traditional, like Danny Elfman, like she went out on her own and made her own voice and everything. It's like really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Killer Man, what you gonna do? And Mr. Dead, they're going downtown too. In that one God-fearing citizen account, they're all holed up and they ain't coming out. What about the preacher to forgive us our sins? Let the carrion crow with blood in his chin. Mr. Father, did you get him in the hand? He's too busy sucking up the guts of this town. What about God and his Armageddon? He's all blissed out there up in heaven. He didn't know where to run. He didn't know where to go.
Nick Cave from 1995's Batman Forever, which actually has a really amazing soundtrack.
I hope the dogs weren't hurt. Sorry.
It's okay. I had a discussion because I'm like, I don't know which awesome song I want to play. And of course, you voted for Nick Cave. I'm like, okay, yeah. And my brother also would vote for Nick Cave. So
excellent. Here's the thing, really quick. In the 90s, there was this phenomenon of the pseudo soundtrack albums, and you could always spot them because on the cover they would either say the album or music from and inspired by.
Oh, yeah,
title.
Inspired by is the best thing, yeah.
Yeah, and there weren't really soundtracks. I mean, there were essentially 14 songs by 14 groups that were popular at that moment, but only four or five were actually in the movie. And Batman Forever was actually one of those soundtracks. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it is an amazing collection of songs, I have to admit.
It had like Flaming Lips. I have Mazzy Star. This Mazzy Star album or song on here like is so good. It is.
PJ Harvey. Couple of big hits from this record. You had U2 with Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, which was sort of like the end of their Zoo TV era. And then you had Seal with Kiss From a Rose, which was
a massive hit. Yeah.
Yeah, and it propelled this album to the top of the charts. And it's a big leap from the Prince record, to be honest with you. And it's more in line with what I thought, you know, the soundtracks to the first two movies should have been more of that alternative rock sort of music. So that's one thing they did get right with this album.
And it's kind of weird because Joel Schumacher took over for the next two films, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, 97. And also they have, so in this one, they have Val Kilmer as Batman. But it's Kenny, like, and then Joel Schumacher, he's kind of like introducing like some of the old, like 66, like pop, like it's kind of colorful, maybe. And then the next movie with George Clooney, and the less is said about that one, the better. But yeah.
Well, hot take really quick. I am a bigger fan of Batman and Robin than I am with Batman Forever.
Oh, why?
For real. Here's the thing. Batman Forever does not know which movie it wants to be. I mean, it's, yes, there is a huge element of, you know, the campy 66 television series, but there's also this other bit where it's trying to be really, really serious with this whole duality thing with, you know, Bruce Wayne. And it kind of goes back and forth, and it's really, really jarring. But Batman and Robin knows exactly what movie it wants to be.
A piece of garbage?
Well, yeah. It's a big, goofy, colorful movie, and it's pretty consistent. I mean, there's the whole Alfred storyline, but that's pretty minuscule. I just think it's got that going for it. I'm not saying that it's a good movie. I'm just saying at least it's consistently bad.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I did have fun watching it because we were just making fun of it the whole time. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is
Mr.
Freeze.
That's what it's
for. Yeah, that's pretty good. But then, so what happened between, like, 97? Is that when that came out?
Batman and Robin came out. It was a big, huge, $100 million-plus movie, and it was a bomb. And the critical reaction to that movie was swift and furious. Fans hated it.
So everybody was just, like, done.
Everybody hated it. Yeah, a plan for a fifth movie with Joel Schumacher directing was thrown into the toilet. And for years, the Batman series lay dormant. Warner Brothers tried getting several projects off the ground. At one point, they had Darren Aronofsky to direct a big screen version of the graphic novel Batman Year One. Well, it became a graphic novel, but that's a whole different thing. But anyways, the storyline Batman Year One was going to be adapted into a feature-length movie to sort of restart the franchise, but that didn't materialize. So what ended up happening is Warner Brothers hired a guy named Christopher Nolan, who did his last picture with Warner Brothers, a remake of a film called Insomnia. And as a result, he took the franchise back to basics, was influenced a lot by 70s cinema, and turned Batman on its head with Batman Begins.
And that's what we have a track up next by Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard. And you told me a curious thing about this soundtrack. Every track is named after a Latin name of a bat or something?
Oh, yeah. The soundtrack album came out the same summer as the movie, of course. And the score is made up of 12 tracks, and each track is made up of different cues from the movie, sort of like spliced together. But the track listing for the soundtrack album, yeah, you're right. It is, each one is a different species of bat. So I thought that was really, really fun.
It's kind of neat. So let's go back to the music with Christian Bale's Batman, and this is a track from Batman Begins. Batman from 2005. That was Batman Begins, and you can hear that it like that definitely went back to the dark roots. They like, okay, no more 66 Batman kind of shenanigans. Let's go back and probably
no more bat nipples.
Yeah, that too. that was a controversy for sure. So right. We're getting up to the end of the show. So thanks again, Josh, for coming. I had too much fun talking to you. I have way more music than I planned to play. But yeah, like we didn't even like delve into like the new like Ben Affleck Batman, which baffles me. But also Will Arnett as Lego Batman. Which I do enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
He has, like, the best voice for Lego Batman.
He does. I never saw the Lego movie, but I took a chance and blind bought the Lego Batman movie. And, of course, I had to go all out and get the Target exclusive with the little figurine and whatnot. But I really, really enjoyed that movie. I thought it was just fun, clever, many nods to the many different eras of Batman, and you're right, Will Arnett does a pretty good Batman.
And so thanks again for coming on today's show, and I hope I'm going to probably try to get you on for Halloween, because we actually met because we know kind of, you know a lot about horror movies, and we're always trying to do a horror thing, but we never get around to it, so maybe
we will this time.
Yeah.
Four times the charm.
Exactly. But thank you so much for coming on the show today, and so Lego Batman movie, Cutting Crew. I think this is a good happy song to end it off on.
I agree.
Okay, thanks.
And thank you for having me on again, Amanda.
Yeah, no, and thanks for listening, everyone, on Mondo Hollywood on 101.5 UM FM. I'll be back again next week with a new show. And here is Cutting Crew. And stay tuned next up for Rami Mays and Riding with the Queen.
Yo, this is 3flection, and you're listening to 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Riding with the Queen. It's been a while. I haven't been in the studio for about a month, so it's good to be back. Hope you guys are out there listening today and didn't give up on me. Today's show, we are featuring a band that has sold over 35 million albums.